Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Now is the perfect time to take control of your money. We are Cooley & Labus Financial Advisors, your local certified financial planners here to help you budget smarter, save more, and plan for your future.
Call today for your free consultation. Let's make your money work for you. Visit CooleyLabus.com today.
It's a great time to live in Mississippi, and we're talking about it. Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. Hope you're having a great day as we continue to celebrate so many wonderful people who are working so hard to make this such a great place to live, work, and play. We have Singing River Health Talk in the second half of the show today. We've got a terrific discussion with a family medicine physician. I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, this past Sunday, I had one of my friends came up to me to tell me that her husband has prostate cancer and is actually seeing one of the doctors who was recently on my show. And I was so thrilled to hear that's who he was seeing, because I was very impressed with this doctor on the cutting edge as it relates to technology, et cetera. And I was able to share with her the show that I did with him. And it was just terrific that we're making these kind of connections in the community. So really good stuff. But without any further ado, let's switch over to my friend Robbie DeAngelo. We only have two segments together today. We usually have a full show together. But it's always good to check in with my friend Robbie, who's really looking good. He had some real challenges with an infection over the past, two or three years. And looks like he's starting to get things into focus. But how you doing, my friend?
I'm blessed, man. I am blessed. Yeah, it's definitely not been the most fun thing I've ever been through, but keep fighting and slowly but surely getting better.
Listen, when you tell someone what you do, you make a living helping people get the most out of life. It's both physical and mental, mostly mental, I might add. How do you talk to him about it?
So if I'm in the business world working with companies, my title would be talent development. I'm trying to take your human capital and develop that talent, culture, leadership. Biggest thing, honestly, Ricky, that I keep running into is communication. On the other side, I work one-on-one with individuals, mostly men, and we are trying to get you to where you want to go. It's results coaching. What results you're trying to achieve, look at the constraints to getting there, and making sure it happens.
That's good stuff. You and I were chatting before the show. Regular listeners know this, but when Lent started this year, I decided that I wanted to lose some weight. I got a high A1C read, not off the charts or anything like that, but it's not uncommon for someone my age in the 60s to have a higher A1C. Your body doesn't process glucose as good as it did earlier. And, one of my favorite snacks was frozen grapes, and I ate them just about every day. Well, you just don't do that when you have a high A1C. So I started doing a lot of research, and I decided I was going to lose at least 20 pounds, which I did, and I'm going to go another 10 pounds, and I think that's going to be kind of my target weight from here on out. And since I do a lot of work with weights and running and walking and staying active, and I've learned how to eat. What I mentioned to Robbie before the show started, I mentioned to my wife Ann the other day that I wish I knew what I know now 20 years ago. Because I've been doing this for over 40 years, but it would have made such a great difference. We're learning a lot these days, though, and the ability to get to find people who can teach you, like you have taught me, people on Instagram that we might look up to who have really done a great job of sharing, better how to eat properly and stuff like that. We're able to pass along information much more efficiently today, but we're learning a lot, though. It's different than it was 20 years ago, isn't it, Robbie?
We definitely don't have a shortage of information. I think the hardest part now, if I'm being honest, is deciphering the good information from the bad information, just because there's so much abundance of it. What's marketing versus what actually works? But yes, I mean, it really is no excuse to accomplishing a health goal these days, because it's all out there. Now the question is, do you actually want to?
Yeah. Well, what I've learned is it's not rocket science at the end of the day. You got to focus on getting enough protein. You need carbs. People cut carbs out, but you actually need carbs. Carbs bring you energy, and you need healthy fats as well. I shoot for around 30% of each. Maybe it's a little bit more refined what I should be shooting for, but I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to get, whether through eating meat or fish or through supplements, I'm not going to get less than 120 grams of protein. I usually am going to shoot for around 150 or greater if I can get there. But that relationship between protein and living a long life and being healthy, man, it's undeniable, isn't it?
Well, it's the building block for everything. And if you don't have enough protein in your diet, you can just, there's so many studies that now it's just irrefutable that if you're not eating enough protein, it's going to have long-term effects. Especially, it's one of the biggest things we see in aging. People, they start to have muscle deterioration and bone density problems because they're just not eating enough protein, because it is the building blocks.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I, again, a lot of folks who've had challenges, and maybe they're trying to cut back on weight, and, you know, they'll just cut back on everything and not realize that the thing they probably shouldn't be cutting back on is protein, especially as you get older. But that really fits to anyone. But you've always, you know, you've maintained this very consistent voice over 5 years that you and I've spent time together, that if you want to lose weight, eat healthy, do a calorie deficit. Which, if you're going to do a calorie deficit, it means you got to learn how to track food. And one of the beauties of, you know, app world we're in today is that there's so many apps out there that can help you do that. I plot everything every single day and have for a very, very long time. I want to know exactly where I am. And what amazes me about what I've learned is that I didn't realize that that one little thing over here that I thought was not a big deal could just blow it for the day. And so, you know, 10 seconds of feeling or of tasting something good is going to require me several days of running miles to get rid of just because of that 10 seconds of pleasure. But that's not understating it, is it? It's true.
No, I mean, you talk about the tracking thing. I think most of the research points to about, most people underestimate the amount of calories you're taking, up about 30 to 40%. So if you're doing that, I mean, there's no way to stay on track. So it is like another step in your health journey is tracking every calorie you put in your body. But it's just like in the business world, what you don't track doesn't get changed. So it's one of those things you just kind of have to do. And like for me, I tracked for a long time and now I kind of know, so I don't have to track anymore. I know what portion sizes are. I know what I should be eating. So it's just, it's a learning that you have to go through with the tracking process, but it is necessary.
Well, for me, I'm there too. You know, I can teach a class in it because I've been tracking for so long. For me though, it's about what gets measured gets done. So I want to track it just so that I can hold myself accountable. It's my way of, it's the numbers. It's my revenue. If I'm trying to, you know, to have a successful company, I'm wanting to track the macros as well so that I can really understand where I am and live healthy. That's for sure. But you've always said, get out and walk, drink plenty of fluids, get a good night rest, do a calorie deficit, learn how to do that. And if you just do those things, you're going to feel better. You're going to live healthier. One of the things I think we're all talking more about is the role that processed food has in creating inflammation and all that. I don't think we had for too long, we have not had the conversations we should have been having about inflammation in the body. But goodness gracious, man, when you eat whole foods and you stay away from processed stuff, I'm honest to tell you, man, I've never felt better in my life because that's the way we eat. It's crazy, but people would feel so much better if they would stay away from it, period, wouldn't they?
Inflammation is the number one cause of aging and disease, and all the science shows that. Processed food, I mean, let's be honest, you don't even know what you're eating. You're eating a science experiment to both cause addiction and to cause you to come back, and also, like, the other side of that, it just saves the company so much money. So when you like really understand the food industry, yeah, their job is to make as much money and to keep you absolutely addicted as possible. Neither one of those outcomes are good for you. Processed foods are, yeah, they're bad. They're bad for so many reasons. The empty calories, the empty nutrients, but also, you know, you just look back at just the inflammation that a lot of those ingredients cause, like you talked about, Ricky. There's really no positive to it, other than some, you know, getting calories in some third world countries that are struggling with food problems. But other than that, like for an advanced country like America, there really is no purpose in processed foods.
It's unfortunate, man. I look at the snacks that we make available to our grandkids, and you know the majority of that is processed. Sadly, it is. And so, you know, we've worked really hard to get assortment of vegetables for sure. But like cucumbers, they'll snack on cucumbers, and they're learning to enjoy that. But lots of different fruit, blueberries, you know, grapes, et cetera, oranges, apples. We try to do a lot of that. But I mean, you look at the kind of stuff we're putting in our kids, and we're starting right off the bat. I saw a thing the other day. Somebody was in Italy eating bread and said, I can eat bread in Italy and I don't have any issues. When I'm in America or Canada, I am lactose intolerant or whatever they are. And it wasn't that ever. It was just the inflammation that was coming from the processed bread. The bread we eat in America, man, is not good for you, period.
Nothing about it is good. We strip all the nutrients. We bleach it. We put chemicals in it to make it more shelf stable. We added folic acid to it, which I think it's almost like 50% of Americans can't digest, which is probably a leading cause of inflammation from gluten. The whole process that we went through to mass market, mass produced bread did everything bad, nothing good to that industry. And now we wonder why it's so bad for us, but it's not bread anymore. It's a chemical concoction.
Yeah, really. I meant gluten and not lactose, but you know, that's an issue in and of itself. Hey, when we come back on the other side, we'll continue our conversation with Robbie DeAngelo. We'll see you after this.
His passion and love for Mississippi is why he's here. This is the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. We're visiting with my longtime friend, Robbie DeAngelo. He's been on the show for 5 years on and off. And I would say if there was a heart and soul to sort of the mental and physical health of this show, it's Robbie. He's the kind of that soul of the show. He's brought that for so many years. He played football, had a very successful football career at Southern Miss, left Southern Miss over 300 pounds, lost over 100 pounds in a year. And from that, he, you know, charted a course. He actually did his work here in Coastal Mississippi for a number of years. But then as he continued to sort of advance his game, he moved to Florida where he is now. He still spends time in Coastal Mississippi, but he has continued to advance his game. For you know, while we're at it, what are you up to these days? Talk to people about what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm still spending time in the talent development world, working with executive teams at companies, working with the human capital. I'm also spending a lot more time really in my faith. And so that involves me doing men's coaching, Christian men's coaching. I'm in the middle of helping a church plant right now and doing a lot of ministry work. But man, just, I got asked that the other day, and really what I'm trying to do is make a difference. I work with so many men that need help, need guidance, and I'm kind of shifting that demographic a little bit. So I still do executive coaching, but I'm kind of shifting towards a younger demographic there because I want to catch the becoming men and try to make a big difference there.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And you found a way to make a living doing it, right?
Absolutely. That's the beautiful part, man. And look, it was not easy to really just kind of hone in and niche down on what I do for a living and make a living doing it, because I don't necessarily have the business is not necessarily a priority in a way. I think I just think about impact, value, and helping people, and then I have to turn that into a business.
Yeah. Yeah. You come from a family of athletes. We don't ever talk about your family much. But man, there are a bunch of athletes in your family who each have done cool things in their lives. Who are focused on physical and mental health themselves. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Man, that's probably one of the biggest blessings in my life is growing up. Both my parents were teachers and coaches. My little brother, he's been great in my life. Just being a good balancing tool. My older brother spent some time in teaching and coaching. He's now the general manager out of Windance. But growing up in a big family of athletes, it taught so many lessons like hard work, discipline, integrity, the value of your word, but also, you know, on my mom's side, learning what connection looks like, learning what building relationships and making people feel seen and heard. So I had this really good balance growing up. I mean, it wasn't easy. It was a high pressure household where a lot of what I felt was the pressure to perform. But at the same time, it's made me who I am today. So while not easy, incredibly grateful for it.
Well, you had an opportunity at Southern Miss to play football with your brother. And that was cool, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was great. We never actually saw the game field at the same time. He had injuries, cut his career short, and he switched over to golf. But yeah, we were definitely on the team at the same time. And it was really interesting too, because I was center, he was quarterback. So we got to do a lot of those exchanges during practice. And we got close to seeing the field at the same time together, but it just never happened. But, you know, my dad played at Southern Miss, and then my older brother played at Southern Miss, then I played at Southern Miss. So it was just a really cool family tradition of what happened there. And that was definitely some formative years in my life.
I remember Mickey, your brother, who was the quarterback. Mickey was a phenomenal quarterback. And I remember, I think if my memory serves me correct, he was having concussions. He had an issue with some concussions. And I remember really clearly because he brought so much heart and soul to the team. He was such a strong player, but he had a choice to make, and you know, he couldn't stay with the team because I mean you can only have so many concussions, man. You got to make choices, especially when you're playing college ball. And went on to, as you said, to play golf. A really, really good golfer. And I see pictures of him from time to time, and you can tell he's still lifting weights and taking care of himself and all the things that, you know, you've learned how to do.
Yeah, he's still in great shape. He still plays golf a good bit. I mean, hey, he's even now the general manager out of Windance, so hopefully he'll continue playing. But yeah, you know, I think that's one thing that we've always done. Even my mom loves working out. My dad stays active. Both my brothers are in phenomenal shape. It's just we understand the importance of it and the role it plays in our lives, probably from our athletic competition backgrounds. But yeah, Mickey stays in really, really good shape. Like I'm sure he could probably still go out there and be very athletic today.
Wow, I can see that. Hey, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that the younger demographic is what you're seeing a shift. Certainly, you're still dealing with, you know, entrepreneurs and CEOs and people like that, but you're seeing a shift in the folks that you're dealing with. What I'm interested in knowing, I mean, you still deal with people who have obsessive compulsive behavior, some that are struggling with addiction, some that social media has played too big a part in their lives. The challenges that young people face today. While in some cases it's similar to what it used to be, in other cases it's much more dynamic than it used to be. Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
I mean, we're still humans. We still have emotions. We still have these internal stories that we create, and we still, you know, even as we're growing older, we still struggle with who are we, what's our identity. And I think with the complexities of the modern world, it's just put a magnification on that, and it's also put a magnifier on that as well through social media, through the way that we get to peer into everyone else's lives and have this comparison, which is the thief of joy. So we've always had the same problems. Now they're just happening faster to a larger scale. And the human mind has not been able to keep up with how fast things are changing. So you're seeing some real schisms happen right now in male identity. Who are we as young men without these great role models that we used to have?
It can be an amazing challenge. What's interesting is by the time you get involved in someone's life, they have made a decision. They've made a choice to get you involved. They know they have to, obviously the people that you're working with have to be goal oriented, but they're trying to do some kind of recalibration that you're helping them with. I'm assuming
they do. I tell guys, like, the two qualifications I need you to be hungry and I need you to be humble. But if you come to me with those two characteristics, we can make a change. And yeah, most guys, I try to catch them before they hit rock bottom. But that is, you know, one of the things that us as men, especially being a little bit more hard-headed, is natural to go through. But yes, most guys, they're like, hey, I keep beating my head against the wall. I know I'm meant for more. or I keep running these same patterns that I don't know why these same things keep happening in my life. Help me identify what's going on. Help me see the patterns for what they are, and really form a new identity that gives me the power to break through this.
What's interesting, you know, as you know, I've been finishing up my book about hope. And, you know, in a way, I mean, there's several lessons that apply to what you just said, but in a way, what you're doing is you're helping them find that spark of hope inside themselves so they can take the next step, you know, to really begin to change things in a way that they can literally see and envision and be excited about moving toward. I mean, that's really what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, and I learned that hard when I was working. I was on the board of directors of the South Mississippi Mental Health Association. And they would always say that the first step in the psychological model of change is hope. If you don't have hope for a better future, hope that it's possible for you, then it really is hard to change. And that is the first thing that we have to do with anybody we work with, is you have to believe that change is possible. You have to have that hope that, yes, I can do this too.
Well, it's interesting because that hope that you're talking about, of course, my book, the original impetus for my book was what I learned after Hurricane Katrina, but then it evolved into much more than that based on other experiences, my own life experiences, conversations I've had on this show, and just maturing in life and experiencing other things. But I believe that everybody has in them that spark of hope. They just have to find it. And amazing transformation can happen once they feel it and have, you know, I mean, I think it's something you can literally touch, but they just don't know it. They need someone to help them find it, and then you can chart a course. It may be different for everybody going forward, but once you find it, it can really unlock amazing potential in you. And I've written a lot about that. But Robbie, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you. I personally have benefited greatly from these ongoing conversations. It reminds me why I should stay focused. I should work to stay healthy. And, you know, if I follow you, you do a great job on social media. It looks like you've ramped that back up again. How can people follow you?
Just at Robbie D'Angelo on all the social medias. I'm posting daily. YouTube channel is working right now, so that'll be starting here soon. But yeah, just at Robbie D'Angelo on all the social medias. Reach out to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you about anything. Just if you need a prayer, reach out to me. I'd love to talk.
I love that. It is, I think it takes a village to go forward, man. A village could be all these relationships you have. And have one with Robbie. I think you'll be glad that you did. It's been a pleasure to spend some time with you. I'm really good to see you doing well.
I appreciate that, Ricky. It's always a pleasure, man. I love South Mississippi, and I'll be back there soon. I was just there a few weeks ago. But yeah, man, I appreciate your time today.
Have a great day. We'll see you with Singing River Health Talk after this.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.